You're listening to the Mind Made Wrong podcast, presented by Steel Maggie, episode number 39. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mind Made Wrong podcast. I'm so glad you are here with me. This is episode 39 and 40. I have here with me John Omen. Say hello to everyone on YouTube who are watching
this. Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Hello. We'll be talking with him about his journey, his mental health journey, and his music, and his vision for the future. So let's just jump right into it. Hi, John. First, I never asked you this. Is Omen like your actual real name?
No, it's not. John is my real name. Omen is one that I just kind of came up with. I have a history of playing like rock and roll, and so I kind of like the little the darker stuff. Although I try and get the good omens, not bad ones now. So
it's good. I mean, it's good premonitions, bad premonition. I like it. It's ominous. It's that would have been dope if it had been your real name. But that's really really cool. Let's just get right into it. Tell us where we can find you on social media first. What are you working on and what do you want us to be aware of?
So johnomen.com with johnomen.com is the easiest way to find me. Or you can usually just search that, just John Omen on any of the profiles, and I'm the first one that pops up. I'm the guy with the lightsabers.
Yes, you are. I was looking through and I was like, oh my god, you really like lightsabers. It's great. It's a good theme.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm on all the music platforms too, so.
Okay, cool. Let's get into your origin story. So I want you to tell us all about how you started as a musician and what were your turning points in your career that brought you to where you are today?
So I have been playing music ever since I was a little kid. My mom, she grew up in Orange County, which is a really great music scene there. She actually knew Dexter Holland from The Offspring, if you know who that is. She went to school with him. So she was always pushing me to do music as I was growing up. As I got older, I kind of realized that I had depression, which is unfortunately all too common. And I always used music as kind of like a coping mechanism for that, because it's really, really kind of helped me. Decided to join the military out of high school as an infantryman. And that was a good choice for me. I met a lot of amazing people, but unfortunately also, I struggled with a couple of things, and when I was 22, I had a suicide attempt, and that was kind of the point of my life when I really realized that I needed to commit to something, and it had to be something that I really loved and was really passionate about, and music has always been that for me. And so I just said, you know what, I just need to try and go all in, and I did, and it's probably been the best decision that I've ever made in my life. It's not easy. Any type of the arts is not easy, but it's also necessary. I don't think anybody's gone in an entire day of their life, really, unless they're camping, without music. But it's used everywhere, and it's something that, you know, it really did save my life, and I feel like I can do a lot of good and hopefully help a lot of other people the same way. So that's why I do it, what I do, and I'm very glad for it.
Thank you. You had an amazing story. Can you elaborate a little bit more on this, on that moment in your life? You were talking to me earlier about it was really, you weren't in the best place mentally, you know, to be in the military. You know,
I had this like unsettling feeling that I was just going absolutely nowhere with my life. Actually, my most recent song, North Star, talks about this. I realized that I needed to like create some type of direction, but before when I had the suicide attempt, I painted a shotgun shell, and I wrote like "nothing changes" on it. And when I put it into the shotgun and I pulled the trigger, when I cleaned the shotgun the last time, I think I put a little bit of cotton on accident where the firing mechanism hits, and so it jammed up. The only time in my life that anything like that ever happened to me. And I'm lucky. And then after that, my hands are just shaking, and I unloaded it and dropped it. And it was just kind of one of those moments where I realized that I had to somehow make a change, and I had to figure out like what I was going to hold on to and what that guiding light was going to be for me.
That's funny that you wrote "nothing changes" on, you know, on the bullet, and then you're like, well, I have to make a change, because that, I think that's such a miracle. Like the story is just, I can't speak, you know, like you say it, you know, and you're telling us this story, and I'm speechless, because, you know, it really shows that you have a purpose and you have a meaning.
Well, I'm very big on second chances. I believe wholeheartedly that every single day when you wake up, you get to make a choice. And sometimes it's not easy. Some days it's impossible to get out of bed, but doing your best to try and get around those and try and making the most out of every single day you can is very important. And just because you had a bad day yesterday doesn't mean that you can't try and have a good day today. And some days when it's a really awful day, sometimes you just have to have a day and, you know, do your best to get through it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Well, sometimes you just have to have a day, get through the day. I'm still thinking about that story. It just sticks in my mind. Would you say that that is a moment in your life where you felt like your mind was made wrong, keeping in the theme of this podcast? And how did you go about making that change when you realized you needed to?
Well, obviously the moment when I realized that of what I had just done, that was eye-opening. I opened up to it about a couple of family members. I told them that I was like, I need to get some help, because clearly I'm not in the right place. I immediately started going to therapy. I started being very self-accountable, and self-aware, which is extremely important, is like understanding the state of mind that you're in right now and understanding what is a normal thought and what is a distorted thought. And by that, what I mean is like, it's not normal to think, hey, I should kill myself. You should never think that ever in your life. And training yourself to think like, which thoughts are me speaking and which parts are the depression speaking is incredibly important for me, because now it doesn't make the thoughts go away. It just helps me compartmentalize them a little bit and say, you know what, like these are things that I understand what's going on right now, but they aren't me. I am going to work around them. And, you know, it's a lot of times those moods are what help me make songs. And I try and write music now that's not depressing, but it's about overcoming that. And I try and write things more on the inspiring note than just focusing on the bad things. I believe in like personal manifestation. I believe when you wake up trying to tell yourself a few good things, that like, you know, you're going to do this today. You're going to be successful. You're going to end up being happy. And trying, you know, focusing on saying those things to yourself, it doesn't necessarily mean that bad things aren't going to happen to you, but you know, the more you believe things and the more you start repeating them to yourself, they start manifesting in your life. Because, you know, especially if one of the things that I mentioned is like, I try and do at least one good thing for somebody every single day, that really helps, because it comes back to you. I mean, don't do it for the sake of things coming back to you, but I believe that if you're putting good things out into the world, the world is going to recognize that, and, you know, they're going to help you when those times that your head starts sinking underneath the water a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I I really like that. Can we talk a little bit more about the personal manifestation? Because, you know, so a lot of times I will do that and I'm wondering if I'm doing it wrong. And I'm sure people listening are thinking like, okay, like I've been told to do that as well, you know, have gratitude, you know, be grateful, be happy. And I'm still not accomplishing those things. Can we go about in a little bit more detail about how you do that?
What for me, how I usually start it off is with vision. I look at myself and 5-10 years down the road, and I say to myself, hey, look, where do I want to be? What are the things that I'm going to need to accomplish in order to be able to get there? And without where does that look like for me? That looks like me being able to completely maintain myself off of music and sustain myself off of music. It means having a genuine impact with my followers and fans. It means being able to create music that I think is meaningful, creating and maintaining really good relationship with my friends. I have a couple of friends that I'm still friends with since I was 8 years old. It's awesome to be able to continue to always like, you have them as a support system. But as far as like the personal manifestation thing goes, it's no joke. There's actually a prisoner of war that got stuck in a camp, and he literally just passed the time by just thinking of golf, as crazy as that sounds. But when he ended up getting out of the prisoner of war camp, he ended up improving his game by like 5-10 strokes from what he normally would. And that was after he hadn't really even just played. It was just him constantly going through mentally. It's just like, this is what I want. This is like, this is me, what I want to think about. This is what I'm going to manifest. But you can really, you can shape your environment a lot that way because you start recognizing it. A good example is with cars. You will never see a yellow car until you start actively looking for yellow cars, and then you'll start seeing them all the time.
Mm.
And that's like one of the best examples I can give you. It's just, you become aware of the things that you need to start drawing into your life. And so when you start looking for happy things, you start focusing on those more and letting the bad things roll off your shoulders a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I understand now. I actually did a podcast like 2 weeks ago about it's another way of saying what you focus on expands. And I love that's my little snippet. I love it. It's so good. Physical manifestation, basically what, really the guy, his golf game was better.
Yeah, that's crazy. I wish I could remember the guy's name. I have a couple concussions and my memory isn't what it used to be, but, it's a true story, and it happens more than you think. When you have a vision that's I don't want to say almost uncompromisable, you start focusing on that more, you can draw things to you that you don't even realize you're drawing to you, just because it's a part of your plan.
I suppose it can work in bad ways and good ways.
It can, you know, if you're always thinking negative things and you're always thinking to yourself, bad things always happen to me. You're going to focus more on those little bad things that happen to you. I mean, like, it's a difference of like, if your vision is to, I don't want to say go to work. If you should be passionate about your work, try and find a job that you're passionate about. But as you get out of the car and you step in a puddle, you just sometimes won't even notice it because you're so anxious to like get on with what you want to do. But if you're always worried about like the bad things that are happening to you, you step in that puddle and you'll be like, oh, why me? I just stepped in this puddle. My shoe's wet now. Whereas, you know, if you try and just not focus on those things, they just kind of roll off of you.
Absolutely. I'm going to steal that. That's in my little arsenal. That's a nugget. I want to talk about how music has brought meaning to your life. I want to first, let's talk about how would you define your music? How would you, what do you write about? What are your lyrical themes?
The most important thing to me, and this will always be the most important thing to me, is when I'm writing a song, I try and write the best song I can, and I try and make every song the best version of itself. I'm very choosy which songs I release. I'll usually write about 20 songs for every one song that I release. Mm-hmm. Some of those I'll end up giving to other musicians too, because I've worked as a songwriter before I started actually releasing songs myself. My process is very different for each song. Some songs I've written while I've been walking in downtown San Francisco, and all of a sudden the lyrics just popped into my head and I just started pulling out my voice recorder and started going from there. Other songs have started from a guitar riff. And then other songs, I don't even know how they just came out of me, where I've written the entire song and produced the entire song in a day. And then some songs have taken me a year. So I'd love to say that I have like a consistent sound or a consistent, methodology behind everything, but really I try and be in the moment when I'm writing, and I just try and like I said bring out the best of what I can. I always, if I ever end up collaborating with somebody, that's what I always tell them. I always say that the song comes first and you can leave your ego at the door, because really what we're here for is to try and give people something that they can really connect to and can be really meaningful to them. And that's what I really try and focus on. I guess you could call my genre, like, I play pop, but pop is the worst way to describe a genre in my opinion. But you have like Ed Sheeran on one side and you have Post Malone on the other, and they're both considered pop artists, but they don't sound anything alike.
Yeah, it's popular music. Yeah. Let's talk about your influences.
That depends on the day to day. Back when I was younger, I listened to a lot of like Foo Fighters and Muse and Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, Breaking Benjamin, Chevelle, even there's so many, even like Linkin Park. And then now, I've really kind of grabbed like a really big palette. So I'll listen from anything to like Hozier to Post Malone. Even guys like Joyner Lucas are like, I love, really good. I love all types of music, because it's been, as I've transitioned from when I was younger to being more of a songwriter, it's really kind of opened up my palette. So really what I care about now is just a great song. And, you know, even like, it's like, country for a long time I wasn't the biggest fan of, and then I started listening to a lot of the lyrics, and I was like, wow, some of these are actually absolutely incredible songs. I don't know why I didn't listen to this at first. I put things in a box, and there's no reason why I should have put them in a box. So that's what I really try and focus on now, is having really good songs at the moment.
Song first.
At the moment I've been listening to a lot of One Republic, Hozier, actually, I just said mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. and Fits in the Tantrums. I think those are the three that I've been listening to.
I haven't heard that at all. Have they come out with new music lately?
Yeah, well, Fits in the Tantrums haven't released anything too lately, but I will always be impressed, because the lead singer of that band is like 50 years old.
No, and, he is?
Yeah, he is. He's definitely older. I can't remember exactly how old he is. I'm gonna look this up right now if you don't mind.
That is banana. No, totally. That is bananas. That is so cool. I love Fitz. I hope they come out with something new. Hozier is also really good as well.
He was in the music industry for a long time, and he just kept going at it and going at it and going at it.
And I was surprised to hear that Jennifer Lopez is 50 as well. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, you know, because of the Super Bowl, everyone was like freaking out because she looks the way she does at 50. But like, I'm sitting here trying to do the math, because I was listening to her when I was like 11, and I'm sitting here like, oh, okay. Like, she didn't, you know, pop super early. You know what I'm saying? She didn't reach her prime at all super early. I think that's so inspiring to know that people are kind of getting over this youth cult. Like you have to be, you know, a certain age and you have to be a certain genre and even look a certain way to do music and to be successful.
Yeah, he's 49. So
that's ancient in, you know, in the industry, you know,
it's like they look for 18-year-olds. Yeah. And age is just a number. If you really do what you love and you work hard enough and you do it for long enough, eventually enough people are going to hear it that as long as your message is something inspiring, it's going to go someplace. Unfortunately, it's just with any type of art, it's an uphill battle. And everybody's mountain is different. Some people have a little hill they have to roll the ball up, and then it goes down the other side and will take off on its own. And some people have to climb a mountain. But when you get to the top and you get to that point, it's you know, eventually going to work for you. It's just sometimes it's a lot harder for certain people than other people. You just, you know, it's kind of what this album that I'm releasing is about. It's called Hearts Bleed Fire. It's about being so passionate that it just leaks out of you. And just, you know, you have to absolutely love what you do in life. And you just have to go at it with every single thing that you have. Because, you know, depending on your religious views, I think you only have one life. And I think with what you do with that life should try and be as meaningful as you can possibly make it. And so that's why I'm a very big proponent of just going out there and just doing what you love and just don't make any compromises with that.
Mm-hmm. It transcends genre. That's why I asked you about that, because you seem to have a theme, you know, and it's passion. Would you tell us a little bit about, because you mentioned religion, would you tell us a little bit about your history with it? Because I know you've had some time in Utah. Mm-hmm. And that is a big, you know, Latter-day Saints hub. Tell us about your influence and how religion has kind of influenced you, you know, as a kid, and how you see it now and how it's affecting you now.
I'm not religious. I grew up in a religious family in a very religious area. Actually, one of the leaders of the church lives across from my childhood house. But religion was just not for me growing up. And I think religion is very important for people. I think religion can do a lot of good for some people. Unfortunately for me, it was kind of the exact opposite. I personally just didn't necessarily believe everything they were teaching. And when I asked questions, I got pushed back and got kind of shut down with certain things. And it created a sense of non-belonging because my beliefs were different from their beliefs, but I was still forced to be a part of the organization because they were very ever present in the community, which is not good for anybody. It's not good to feel like an outcast in any situation. You know, and the problem ends up being is just that when you're in an area that is like the status quo and the norm, it's hard to usually find other individuals that are, I don't want to say that they're still good people. It's not, they're not deviating from like the moral senses of the religion, more like the belief system. Because I'm still a very big proponent in the pay it forward, try and do good things, and but at the same time it's not for me, it's not for a lot of the people around me. And I think when you're stuck in those situations as a kid, it can kind of trigger a couple of things that'll last a long time in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it comes through in your lyrics?
To be honest, I don't really know, because I don't typically think about religion that much anymore. Mm-hmm. I think about people more, and you know, I don't really think about what comes after. I think about while you're here, what are you going to do with that time? Mm-hmm. And what are the experiences that you're going to face in the now, rather than what's going to happen. Who knows when? You never know when death is mm-hmm. going to come.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good, that's the answer to my question, is that no, you know, it's not really part of your lyrics, because you have a different belief system. The reason why I ask is because, a lot of times, if we've lived in those situations, like you said, you know, it becomes difficult and looked down upon to ask questions, you know, and to kind of explore your identity and explore who you are. And like you said, that can lead to some mental health issues, you know, as it has, you know, for me in my story. And that comes out in my lyrics all of the time. And it is a way that I process, you know, what has, where I've come and where I am going. And I love that you do have an emphasis on what I'm doing today and where I'm going. And it all really kind of circles around your theme of, you know, what can I do today? Try to do one good thing a day for someone else, living in your passion. You said on our preliminary call, if you could be anything in the world, be passionate. And I love it. I need to staple that on my forehead. Can you tell us about can you tell us about the most significant struggle you're facing when it comes to the relationship between your own mental health and working in music today?
Oh.
Sorry, it is a big question.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of things that a lot of musicians have to struggle with is this constant duality of creating stuff that's really cool, and then the self-doubt that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just a certain measure of anxiety and depression that art just kind of brings upon an artist, because you're creating something that's value is determined by other people. And that's extremely hard on people, because you have to constantly wonder, is this going to mean anything to anybody? It's a struggle to think like that. And I try not to think like that myself. But it always ends up kind of like coming back into, when you create something that it's like, you think this is really cool. And then you always, like, when you're putting out, it's a very vulnerable thing where you're just like, I spent 6 months working on this. Please don't mm-hmm. hate it.
Mm-hmm. And maybe longer thinking about it, and you know, all of the little tiny thoughts that kind of wear you down.
Yeah,
about
the terrible truth is that nobody is gonna, like, not everybody is gonna like your art. People hate Beyonce, and Beyonce, you know, that's just how it goes. Some people like to listen to Post Malone. Some people like Taylor Swift. You can't tell them that they're wrong. It's just people resonate with different types of music. Some people love metal. There's nothing wrong with loving metal. Some people like rap. There's nothing wrong with loving rap. Just understanding as an artist that it's, you can't please everybody, but when you resonate with the right person, that's what matters. And so that's what I try and focus on with everything, is understanding that you're always going to have people that are displeased with you, but the one person that messages you, out of however many like dumb crap that you may get, that one person that you made a genuine impact on, that's what matters, because that person is going to be able to hold on to it, and those other people are just going to forget about you. It doesn't matter, but. Making those like genuine, meaningful connections to people, even if it's just 1% of people. There's 7.5 billion people in the world.
That's 1% of that is like something ridiculous. It's a ridiculous amount of people.
Yeah, it's like if you have 75 million people that like your stuff, just got to figure out like how to reach with them. And that's why, just like as I'm focusing on music, I try not to think of like, will people like this, and just trying to make things that can have genuine connections, mm-hmm. connections with people. Like when you feel something, like what are you feeling in the moment when you're listening to the music? And that's, you know, that's what really I try and dump into all of this. And that kind of helps me like struggle with like the self-doubt and everything, because it's like at the end of the day, it's just like, if I find new meaning in it, then that should be enough.
It's so important to, you know, what I'm getting from this is that it's really important to really just be so passionate about your message and your work that it bleeds through, you know, it can't help, like heart bleeds fire. Like, and it's, you can't help, but, it can't help but come out as the message, and people can't help but latch onto it. Because it ends up being universal in some way to even just one person. And we can get so locked up in, I think, like Spotify stats and, you know, like for this single, what times did I get placed, you know, and it doesn't really matter, because like I sometimes do like a little bit of exploring, cause I'm kind of getting into this world of, you know, actually promoting my music and trying to like, what is that even about? And I've been looking for things, and like, I see like people that I've never even heard of, you know, that have like, you know, 10 listeners a month, and they're amazing. And then like people I've also never heard of, like that are big in the area that I've never heard of, that have like 3 million listeners a month. And I can't stand, you know, their music, or their music just doesn't speak to me. And it doesn't, I feel like more people need to remember that the numbers are so much less important than the people you're actually, yeah, you know, reaching.
Especially streaming. Streaming is, I wish they didn't show numbers at all with that. Because a lot of that can be fake nowadays. And at the end of the day, what really matters with any musician is that they are genuinely connecting to people. And so that person on Spotify may only have 10 monthly listeners, but whenever he plays live, every single person there is like, wow. Like the next time this person comes back into town, I'm definitely going to see him again. Cause I felt something at this concert. I remember it in a way that is just like one of the better memories of my life. And I want to continue to see them every single time they come through. But people may just not listen to their music on Spotify. They may have bought a CD. They may have it on iTunes. Yeah. And if you can, yeah, if people like your music enough to buy it nowadays, like you're doing something right.
Exactly. Stream is a stream. And they are important, because people always look at your numbers if they want, you know, like if you're applying for an opportunity or anything. But exactly. Like if someone wants to like have like a physical copy, you know, or, you know, it's actually downloaded, you know, into their phone, like who even uses iTunes anymore? But it still speaks to, like, it's more about like who's on your email list, you know, and like who actually wants to stay in contact with you, because Spotify and, you know, streaming is just like, it's so casual. There's no real commitment there, you know?
And a lot of times those numbers, they don't necessarily mean that you're making genuine relationships with people.
Yeah.
Because most of the time when people have huge numbers like that, it's because their song was on a really big playlist. But a lot of people will just like, they'll listen to the songs on the playlist, and then the song will play and they're like, oh, this is a good song. Next song. Oh, different artists. And they don't ever engage with you as a person. And so it's important to make connections out of that, because I think as a musician, it's like one of the things that we can really do is we can change people's lives. I mean, it happened to me. I know it can happen to other people too. And so doing, like, I don't want to say like what you're doing outside of your music, but it's like the messages that you're putting in your songs, what you're doing outside and everything, that can then draw people directly to where you're playing stuff. And those streams matter much more than when they're just getting, you know, placed through these big, like, I want to say like one time playthrough playlist that people will never listen to stuff again.
Yeah.
Art is incredibly important. And I think it's way more important than most people will give it credit for, because I don't think there's a single day that people aren't exposed to media in some fashion, whether it's television, song, like a painting, it's everywhere and it's ever present. And it's like people discount that, but imagine a world where that didn't exist.